comments on the draft picks anybody else done?
Yeah, I think we've got everybody done except for Jay. I haven't talked to Ted here in the last hour, but we've got the lines of communication open, and hopefully we'll get that done before our meeting tonight.
In the Super Bowl years here, you had almost 100% participation in the offseason. How much has that dwindled in, as far as the dedication in this past season?
Well, probably it's just the opposite. We didn't have anywhere close to 100% participation in those Super Bowl years. But this has been the best year we've ever had, 97%. It just keeps on getting better every year. I think people understand what it takes to make a commitment and play at this level. And with the salaries the way they are, with the off-season program and the demands on these athletes, I think it's in their best interest to show up. And a lot of these contracts are, they have some good incentives with them as well. So this is 97%. It keeps on getting, it's gotten better every year, at least the last 3 years. So that's a good sign.
Do you, I don't know if there's a cause and effect or just luck, but I mean, you have 97% attendance. How much last year, except for Dwayne's car accident, I mean, Darren was the only one that really had a serious injury. Do you correlate the attendance, 97%, to preventing injuries, or is it just luck?
Well, a little bit's luck, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, being in condition. But if you do get injured and you are in shape, you, obviously the recovery is sometimes 2-3 times as quick. You know, if you don't do anything in the off season and in your way, and you do get hurt, it takes a while to get back in shape. And so, you know, for us to do the things that we would like to do during the season, you know, the first goal is to have a great off-season program, and we've been able to accomplish that thus far.
Why do you think it has increased? I mean, is it just incentives and contracts, or is it dedication, both?
I think number one, I think Denver is a great place to live. People want to be there, be here with their family. I think that's a big factor. I think the next factor is there is a lot of incentives. Salaries are pretty good nowadays, and if you want to be in the team, you better show a commitment to the organization, or the chances are you won't be with the team.
Mike, at what position do you anticipate possibly the biggest battle for, either as a starter or as a reserve?
Well, I think the obvious positions are people that didn't start from the year before. So when you take a look at it, and who's going to be the running back? Obviously, we know the quarterback position. We know the offensive line. Even though there's always battles and people are competing, you know, you take a look at the wide receiver position. I think we've paid enough attention to that thus far, to where everybody's on top of that. Fullback, we've had you know, Cecil and Kyle, very close and battling at that position. Defensive line or defensive secondary. I think you talk about you know, Williams and Foxworth, the two guys that played very well last year. Safety positions. Obviously, they played well, and we feel like we've got some depth at that position. Defensive tackles, I think, are pretty well set. Now, the depth of those tackles, we're not really sure. And defensive ends, you know, losing a guy like Trevor, who's going to be the guys that are the main guys at the defensive end position?
What's been your latest communication with either Peter Schaefer or Ashley, and is there a point at which the bridge could ever be burned?
Well, I'm just going to wait till that, you know, see if he, you know, reports to camp. And if he doesn't report, I'm just going to treat him like he's going to sprain his ankle. I'm not going to worry about somebody who's not in our camp. He's got a contract, and he's obligated to be here. We're holding all the cards, obviously some healthy fines. And I did talk to him on the phone a couple days ago, and I'm not really sure what direction he's going.
Given the level of interest you've had from other teams, would you expect to be able to get a trade for what you want?
I really don't know on how much interest there's been. You know, there's obviously interest. Anytime there's a starter on your team, a guy like Ashley, who led the league with yards per catch last year, there's always some interest, but not a big enough interest where someone's going to invest a fair trade. Well, what I mean by that is maybe a draft choice, or maybe a guy that we would consider comparable talent.
I mean, you said you talked to him, and that's the first time you've talked to him in a long time. But were you able to, was he able to air his grievances, or was anything he said make sense, or were you guys kind of on polar opposites of the
First of all, I'm not going to relay the conversation we had. I can say that he didn't say a whole lot. Peter did most of the talking. And I'm sure that surprises you.
Mike, is it still strange not to have Gary upstairs? And what do you expect the transition to be like?
I think it'd be, you know, it'd be a lot different if I didn't have a guy like, you know, Mike Heimerdinger come in, and a guy like Pat McPherson who's been here, and a guy like Rick Dennison who not only is an assistant coach, but I mean, as a player when I was a coach. So we've got a lot of guys that I've worked with for a lot of years. It's always tough to lose great coaches, but what a great opportunity for Gary to be in the position he's in. Opportunity for Rick Smith, guys that have worked extremely hard to get themselves a position that they have right now. You know, you just feel good for them. I just talked to Gary about 15 minutes ago and wished him well, and said Rick's doing a great job, and Dale Strom now has got a chance to run their pro personnel and possibly their collegiate personnel here in the next years to come. So you're just happy for guys that have done a good job for you that get their opportunity to show what they can do.
How much would Jay Cutler be set back if he does hold out? I mean, how damaging would that be to him?
Well, I don't really think he'll hold out. I think you know, Jay's a pretty smart guy. I think his agent is a very fair guy. We've always been fair. You know, this is not mental gymnastics, these contracts. I mean, it's a basic percentage, and so there's a little give and take, and we've always, you know, found a way to deal with these things because we've always been fair. But to answer your question, if he did sit out with all the experience that he got in these OTA days, he's further ahead than most quarterbacks would be, you know, because of what he's been able to do in the offseason.
So he's been able to pick it up pretty well so far, and you're happy with where he's at right now?
What we do is we give the, you know, third and fourth teamers the same reps as the first, second teamers. So he's got the same amount of reps as our starters, first and second teamers get. So he's had a chance to learn by actually practicing. And there's a lot of teams that don't do it that way. You know, your first quarterback, your second quarterback will get the majority of the reps. Their third team guy will get about, at most, a third, probably a quarter. And he's been able to get at least 50% of the reps, which has been very good for him. Well, I think all of our guys are able to carry the whole load. You just have to evaluate what you think is the most effective for your team. And anytime a guy averages 5.3 yards per carry and right at 1,000 yards, you know he's capable of having some big-time ability. Now, the question is, you've got to decide, you know, is he capable of carrying that ball 25 times a game? Or is it better to have another guy that you think a lot of taking half the reps or maybe a majority of the reps? You have to kind of feel that as a preseason goes on. And I can't tell you right now where we're at, because usually with the running back position and the safety position, you got to see a guy play. Very similar to what happened with us with Terrell Davis when he got his first chance to show what he could do in that Jacksonville preseason game. You know, people were asking, is he going to make the team? Is he going to be one of your top guys? And after that game, I think everybody knew he was going to be a player for us. And so that's what you're hoping, just evaluate these guys in preseason and see what they can do.
Mike, would you characterize the running back competition as wide open?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's wide open. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm trying to take away anything Tana Bell's done or what Ron Dane has done or a guy like Cedric Cobb. I'm not trying to give him too much confidence. All I'm saying is when there's not an established guy there from the year before, wasn't the starter, I'm kind of wide open at that position.
How happy were you last year with Gerard Warren, and do you think he could play better this season?
You know, I was very happy with Gerard. That's why we signed him to a big-time contract, not only the way he played, but the way he practiced, the way he led. And, you know, we don't make those commitments unless we feel pretty good about the guy. And I think he'll just keep on getting better and better the more he's in our system and the more comfortable he feels with his teammates.
How much do you think a healthy Javon Walker can change the look of your offense?
Well, not just Javon. Obviously, we signed Javon because we think he's a top player. But I think he brings a lot to our running game. He's a very physical guy. He's a very tough guy. And I think that mindset helps our offense. Obviously, Rod Smith, we know what he's done and what he's able to do. I think a guy like Tony Scheffler what we watched him do in preseason with the speed and the size and the great hands he has, we're looking for him to step up and help us in a certain way. Very similar to what Jeb did a year ago. But we think that Tony might have a bigger upside in the running game.
Potentially, is this the best set of wide receivers you've had since you've been here?
Well, that's hard to say until somebody does it. I hate to say compare guys to, you know, teams that have won Super Bowls or guys that have, you know, had receptions of over 100 yards and over 1,000 yards. But I think top to bottom, this could be the deepest set of receivers that we've had.
It will Javon be full go?
Yeah, we'll have Javon on one a day. So he'll practice one time a day, but he will practice full go tomorrow.
Is there anybody else who you're going to have to hold back like that?
Besides
Javon,
mm-hmm.
Do you know yet?
Mm-hmm.
You not
got
time
to
share that?
Sure, I'll share it with you.
Mike, is it definite that Sauerbrunner missed the first four games or anything up on the appeals front?
How can I answer his question when you just asked me a question? He was allowing me to give the one a day, guys, but I will come back to Todd here in a second, okay? On defense, Ebenezer Ecubon will keep him one a day. Courtney Brown will keep him one a day. John Lynch will be one a day. Champ Bailey will be one time a day. Those are the only guys I believe that we have down for sure. Guys like Al Wilson, Ian Gold, Gerard Warren, you know, those guys, I may give them a day off every 3-4 days, you know, not to overwork a veteran player that has proven. On offense, Tom Nalen will go one time a day. Matt Lepsis will be kind of in the same, you know, he'll be two times a day, but every once in a while I'll give him a day off. Javon Walker will be one time a day. Steve Alexander will be one time a day. And what I do, you know, usually with one time a day is guys that have done a great job in the offseason. I know they're in great shape. Guys that are proven players that I don't want to overwork, but I can still get a good workout in the weight room and still evaluate some of the guys behind them so they can get some more reps in practice. And what we've been able to do over the last 17 practices that we've had in OTA, we've thrown a lot at them. So what we've done in the last 17 days is just like a training camp. And so now with this new, basically 3 weeks or a little over 3 weeks for our training camp, I get a chance not only to get these guys in top shape, but also try to evaluate some of the younger guys when these guys are on one of the days.
With that camp real quick, is that preventative or is that carryover from last year's injuries that you're keeping?
It's strictly preventative. Yeah. And talking about Todd Sauerbrunn, what was your question, Jim?
Is it definitive that he missed the first four games? Is there any issue there with the appeals process?
He's going to miss the first four games. He'll be out the first four games. And
how much does that heighten your concern, his absence, those first four games?
Oh, it's a big concern. Very disappointed that, you know, especially Ephedra. You know, Ephedra is a weight loss drug. Obviously, it's a bad substance, and if you take it, you get suspended, and that's what happened to him. But I'll let him address you. He'll address you at a later time, later on today.
Did he lose his appeal or withdraw
it? Oh, I'm just going to say he's going to be out for four games. I don't want to go through the process, but he'll definitely be out for four games, and he'll be eligible after that. Yeah, I was, you know, I told him, I was very disappointed in him. You know, we took a chance on him, and, you know, of all the things, Ephedra, you know, Ephedra is, what it does is it makes you lose weight. He's the only guy on the team, which I don't care if he's fat. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know. I don't care if he's 30 pounds overweight. All you got to do is punt the ball, kick it in the end zone. You know, so obviously I was disappointed.
Jake is probably coming off one of his best seasons. How much more upside do you think he has, or do you think he pretty much is where he's going to be as an NFL quarterback?
Jake looked very good in our OTA. He looked the best since he's been here. And I think he's very comfortable with the system. A couple years, things are automatic. He doesn't have to think. He understands his supporting cast, the players around him. And he handled himself very well. And hopefully it translates into a good year.
You mentioned Courtney Brown. I mean, when he first came in here, you know, he always seems to be rehabbing in offseason. This year, he was able to have just off-season program, go home at night. Do you think
that coupled with the fact that it is his second year, that we can expect even bigger things from him?
Yeah, I'm sure hoping. You know, it's the first time, like you mentioned, he has been healthy. And he's looked good in the OTAs. He kind of had he tweaked the hamstring. That was the only thing that set him back a little bit. And he's excited. He's excited to be here, and he's had a great, off-season program, and we're just hoping he has a great year.
Would you be open to a talent like Chris Brown from Tennessee?
You know, we're always interested, for good players. But anytime that you're talking about trades or possibility of trades, there's so many factors that go into it. And I can't say that we would not be open to either one of those guys, but at what price? And, so there's so many factors. We're always trying to get the best competition that we can. And I love competition. And those guys would be obviously very competitive.
Are you not practicing with another team this year in the preseason? Are you, or have you made that decision?
I'll be honest with you. I tried to practice with Detroit, and I tried to get a practice with Tennessee, and it didn't work out. With a new coach coming in Detroit, I think Rod would have done it at a different time. And we just couldn't get something worked out with Tennessee, which I was hoping we'd be able to do. So a little disappointed there, but what can you do?
Have there been any surprises in the offseason and some of the new guys that you've looked at and said going into training camp that some of these guys might be better than you even thought?
Yeah, I think the guy that really stood out was Brandon Marshall, as a wide receiver, because he stood out to our defensive backs. Here's a guy that 6'4 and a half, 230, that showed explosiveness and speed and quickness and good hands. And, you hate to pat a guy in the back, before you get started, but I think that our players could see his skills for a young guy.
You talk to your defensive back sometimes and say, which guy's out here don't you like to cover during practice?
No, what they do is they come to me and they say, hey, coach, how come he went in that round? What was wrong? When they see somebody's talent sometimes, and you kind of listen to your veteran players who recognize talent. And I think Tony was the same way, Scheffler. I think they could see Jay's arm strength. And so I felt very good about our rookies coming in, with the response from our veterans. But until you get it done on game day, until you go through the grind of these summer sessions, you don't want to jump on the bandwagon because you never know until the lights go on.
Like with your personal approach to training camp, when do you start kind of getting out of that vacation mode and getting back into thinking about the season and training camp and all that?
On Monday. And that's one of the reasons why I like to bring them back in July. I have a hard time getting away for that length of time and being away from these players because it doesn't take long to get out of shape. And I think it really has worked good to have that one of our mini camps or our mandatory mini camp right after the July 4th weekend because we're away from them for about 2.5 weeks. And they have something to do besides just running and going through the weightlifting program because no matter who you are, you get tired of just lifting weights and running like you're in the track team. So to come back here for 3 days and do some football-related drills and still have those guys stay in shape and be around them a couple weeks or 2.5 weeks before you go to camp, I think is made me feel a lot comfortable where you really don't get away as long as we have in the past.
You mentioned before that the depth at wide receiver could be the best. Does that change your offensive approach at all, given you have that talent to get in more three wides or something like that to get them on the field more, or is it just more, it might be more rotating because you have that depth?
Well, I think a lot has to depend on, injuries. What you like as much depth as you can, because if you lose three running backs or a fullback, you might have to start a game with four wide receivers or three wide receivers and a tight end. My first year here, we went and played the Raiders, and they were playing to go into the playoff game. They had that at stake, and we went in there. We only had four wide receivers. We didn't have any tight ends. We didn't have any running backs. We were hurting a little bit. So the more depth you can have, the better off, because, from an offensive perspective, you can dictate the game plan. From a defensive perspective, you can't dictate the game plan. You lose two or three defensive backs, you may see four wide receivers the whole game by the opposition. So, all of a sudden you have a couple DBs go down and all of a sudden an offense dictates, here's our three, four wides. You may not have the personnel to match up. Conversely, from an offensive perspective, you can control that.
That wasn't your plan probably from the very beginning, but that may not be as easy to do with the
Oh, without a question. Without a question. You know, last year we kept two because I felt like Danny Cannell was right down the street. I didn't think he'd be picked up. He knew our offense. And I wanted to keep someone else that I thought would be here long term rather than Danny. You know, you always would like three quarterbacks on your team, especially when you can dress three quarterbacks. And I think we've got four quarterbacks now that have been pretty impressive. And so the chances are we will keep three. Now, is that for sure? I can't tell you until, you know, after the preseason. But most of the teams will, you know, keep three quarterbacks.
Because you have a first-round pick right now, maybe third on the depth chart, I mean, is there a different philosophy about snaps in camp? I mean, are you making more of a conscious effort to get Jaden Moore snaps because of his draft status or anything like that? Or does he have to pass Bradley to earn more snaps in camp?
We try to do is we try to even up the snaps with except for your first teamer. And your first team will get a little bit more, and all the other guys that are competing, it'll be pretty close to being divided equally. Now, I'm not saying that a fifth teamer, sometimes you're 5D, but usually that second, third teamer will be pretty close in reps, especially at the quarterback position.
Bashley comes in right now. Is he a starter?
No. No, he's not a starter because he hasn't been here in the offseason program. But it's like anything. I'm going to play the best players. I have nothing against Ashley Lilly. Ashley made a big business decision to do what he thought was right for him and his future. But now, you know, he's under contract to come here and compete. I'm going to play the best players. Ashley comes in here, and he shows me in practice that he deserves to be the top guy. He's going to be the top guy. I'm going to play the players that gives me the best chance to win. I've always been that way. We've signed guys with big contracts and free agents, and I'll be the first one to admit, you know what? The other guy that we got, we didn't pay a signing bonus to, is a better player. I can't lose the respect from the team by playing the guy that I gave money to. So we'll have the free agent play the guy that was not drafted. I mean, that's why you keep chemistry in a team. So the best players will play, and all you can do is come in here and compete.
Why didn't he believe you?
What's that?
Why doesn't he believe you?
Everybody believes me, Jeff. Everybody believes me. I don't know. I can't. Hey, I really don't know.
Is it problematic? I mean, I talked to Peter yesterday, and he said that, you know, I'm operating under the same guidelines I have for 3 months in terms of Ashley, because I said, has his opinion changed? Now, because the fines are so big, it may force him to come in here. Would that create a problem where someone's just coming in to avoid fines but yet doesn't want to be here? I mean,
well, first of all, you sign a contract. Okay, once you sign a contract, you make a commitment to somebody. And I think there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people right out here. And the reason why you're working is you're under contract. Maybe in a year from now, you might have the ability to go somewhere else, but if you're under contract, you're under contract. And that's when I talked to Ashley, that's what I talked about. I said, hey, you're under contract. You may not like it, but the best thing for him to do is come in here and have one heck of a year. And a year from now, he's going to have a chance to go somewhere and possibly make a big salary. But if you don't have the leverage or, you know, to be a starter, why not come in here and compete? That's what I don't understand. I think we you know, I said I was going to talk about it. I knew I had no chance today. And so I promise you, after today, we will not talk about this. I know I've lied to you a couple of times because I said that was the last time, but I didn't think you'd mind.
I was just saying more from a perspective, he goes into a locker room where the other players know he doesn't want to be there. It'd be hard to be a teammate, someone who...
You think everybody wants to be on a certain team? You know, a lot of guys are looking for, you know, I don't need to name names, but a guy's had a heck of a year and all of a sudden he's going to the last year of his contract. He'd like to have a big contract on another team. But you know what? The best thing for him to do is go to that team and compete and have a heck of a year so when he is a free agent, he has some leverage. And that's what you want to do. I mean, this is not very complicated. I'd take a look at it and I'd look at myself and say, hey, you know what? I try to do the best thing for me. Didn't work out. Let's get back to work. And
like,
that's the way I do it.
Face to face, is he in town?
I really don't know. I don't know where he was. I didn't ask where he was on the phone. I know Peter was in town.
But you wouldn't be surprised if he walked through the door today.
You know, no, nothing surprised me anymore. And like I said, if he did come in, hey, let's go back. We'll play the best players. Let's go have some fun. Let's go win a championship.
How does that affect the team, though, as far as, I know you can't speculate,
I know how the guys feel. Guys want players. Guys want guys that are going to come in here and work. If you want to be part of the team, you want to work hard, be part of the team. If you don't want to be part of the team, then don't be part of the team. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Hold out. But our guys aren't going to worry about someone that doesn't want to be here. They're not going to worry about it because they know that guy's not going to win you a championship. If a guy wants to be here, get your rear end in the camp, but let's go have some fun and compete.
So if he does show up, may not be received?
You know, I think it would take 5 minutes. He says, guys, I think I did the best thing for me. It didn't work out. I'm ready to go. Let's get after it. I don't care if I'm the third team guy or the first team guy. I'm going to show you at the end of the camp I deserve to be number one. That's the way, to me, men do it. That's my opinion.
Mike, can you characterize what you've been offered for? Fourth rounder, fifth rounder?
I think we went through that already. I think we went through it in detail on draft day. That it wasn't a first day pick. Okay? And again, I think that's enough.
You felt pretty good at this point last year. Is this team better than that?
I've got a good feel about this team. One of the reasons I have a good feel is our defense was the top that it's ever been in points given up since I've been here. You give up 258 points. We were tied with Pittsburgh for the fewest points given up. And you're 28th in the league in red zone defense. That's pretty good. You got a chance to win championships when your defense plays at that level. Now, can we play at that level? We'll find out. But I got a good feeling about this football team. When you're a plus 20 in turnover ratio, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Scoring points, 7. Scoring defense, 3rd. Turnover ratio, 2nd. You win championships that way. Now, that was last year. We'll see what we can do this year.
Is Pittsburgh in the rearview mirror, or do you use that as a motivation in this camp, to drive into the next level?
Yeah, we know that we didn't play one of our better games against Pittsburgh. We know we could beat Pittsburgh. We didn't give them the credit. They had a good package on 3rd downs. They outplayed us. They outcoached us. And you look at it, and you're saying, hey, that's over. You're mad because you had an opportunity to be world champs, and you didn't take advantage of it. And now you get ready for the next go-around.
Which game haunts you more, Jacksonville or Pittsburgh?
Thanks for that question.
You use Jacksonville as a motivational tool, really, for getting ready and winning the next 2 Super Bowls. Also another big disappointment here.
I can go back through all the losses in playoffs, and they're all tough. They're all tough. But, anytime you got one in your backyard, like we did against Jacksonville, we had home field advantage, and you have a game against Pittsburgh in your backyard, and you don't take advantage of that opportunity, it stays with you for a long time. It should, because all the work you put into it. But what you do is you go back, you dissect it, you understand the things you did right, the things you did wrong, and presented with the same opportunity again. You're hoping that you prepare your team well enough that you win those games, and that'll be our goal.
Mike, your decision to let Jeff Butsier go, should we look for Alexander to be more productive in the passing game, catching balls, or do you look for your second round?
Well, one of the reasons why we let Jeb go is we felt Nate Jackson looked very good. We were very impressed with him. And obviously with Wesley Duke coming on, we didn't know he was going to get hurt. We thought we had some depth there, at that position. And with the drafting of Tony Scheffler, we feel very good about him, one of the reasons why we use a second round draft choice on him. And then with Steven Alexander having the experience, we felt good about that position. We're thin at that position, so we're hoping we don't lose anybody because you need that depth.
Mike Jackson then kind of take that role, kind of a 3rd down guy as a receiver, as a tight end?
Oh, without a question. Nate Ken, Tony Ken. We got a couple guys here that can really run.
Just to be clear, Mike, you said this, but the team will exact the maximum fine allowable on any old effort.
Oh, sure. That's just, basic business.
Mike, during the offseason, did you notice any change in Tatum Bell's approach with his weight room?
Yeah, I feel very good about Tatum. He had some great 17 days of OTAs. You can tell there's a sense of urgency about him. You can tell that he is matured, and not that he was immature, but you can see how people grow as a pro, just the way they go about their daily business, and I've been impressed with Tatum.
How's Ron looked this offseason?
Good. Ron's done the same thing. He's been very good with the OTAs. He's went from about 250 to about 240. Even like I said, 97% in the offseason is pretty good. Okay, I probably won't see you guys for a while.